Hello, my name is Pratik Mukhopadhyay. I'm an entrepreneur and an author. I'll be hosting the Reimagine Sales Systems podcast, where I'll be bringing some of the industry thought leaders who will be sharing their go-to-market strategies for their business systems.
All right, listeners, I'm so happy to welcome Vivek Gopal today in our podcast. Vivek is the Director of ID Applications at Zayo Group. Welcome, Vivek.
Thanks, Pratik. I'm excited to be here.
So Vivek, thanks for joining us. Why don't you share a little bit about your personal journey, like what has been your past and how did you get started and end up becoming an IT director?
Cool. Yeah. So talking about my journey, it's all started about 16, 17 years back when I sort of first out of college got this developer role. And super excited about it, super thrilled, super wanting to sort of be on my own feet. And so as I sort of being a developer and sort of start contributing, soon realized that, you know, I thought I had more skills that I can bring to the table as opposed to sitting in front of the computer writing lines of code.
Right.
I thought, okay, I wanted to be talking to a lot of people. I want to be interacting with a lot of people. And I think that's where I felt that I can add more value. And that's when I got an opportunity to work for this consulting company, rather pretty small one. And they were supporting customers in the US who were sort of in the enterprise applications space. And this is mostly focused on Oracle e-business suite and Oracle applications, right? And that's how I basically got in a start into the enterprise application space, right? And I sort of, my first job there was like in the customer support side. So I was basically helping them resolve issues and tickets that was brought up after the Oracle implementation was actually done. And I was working with the subject matter experts, working with the business users, and slowly started understanding this whole quote to cash process and how this whole B2B space works, right? And understanding of enterprise applications, understanding why
right.
we use CRM applications. And that sort of was perfect. And after that point, there was no looking back for me. I loved to be in front. So I sort of became like a functional consultant on the quote to cash space and started playing around more on Oracle applications, sort of expanding my portfolio right from opportunity management until cash and a little bit of financial applications as well. And then after the startup, I got the opportunity to work for Oracle Consulting at Redwood City, California. And that's, I had a chance to go and to implement Oracle suite of applications for lots of other Fortune 500 companies. And that's when I realized that this is like, this is what I want to do, and this is where I love to be, and sort of carved a niche for myself, right? And then from there, it's been nothing but exciting for me with the move from the on-prem application to SaaS-based applications and Salesforce, and it's been a totally exciting journey for me this past 16 years, and I'm going back. I have no regrets for what I've done, and I think I just have learned a lot, and I'm still learning more as we sort of evolve in this enterprise applications space.
That's a fascinating journey, and bringing your engineering and development experience to interacting with people, I think that's a great combination. Can you talk a little bit about your company's go-to-market strategy, because I think systems are required, but the understanding of are the direct channel, how do they essentially sell, that'll be interesting.
So this is my fourth month at Zayo Group. So I am also in the process of learning the the strategy, right? And and what has happened this past year or so at Zayo is the company is undergoing a huge transformation. So we were a publicly listed company. We are now taken over by a private equity firm, and we are private right now. And we have a new C-level suite that has been formed. We have sort of looked at the team, the entire organization, right from below the sea level to downwards, and then sort of looked not only the organization, but they looked at the systems and looked at the processes that they need to change. And the goal is to help us sell faster and help support our customers. If you notice, our tagline is our fiber fuels the economy. So that's sort of where our focus is on, and we want to sell more. And this is not only just selling to just direct, but even channel and other types as customers as well. So that's where our focus has been, and there is a lot of emphasis on the products and the services that we're going to offer. There's a lot of focus on infrastructure, as well as there's a lot of emphasis on changing the processes and the systems, and this is all combined to sort of help us take the company to the next level. So I think we're in an exciting phase, this is where I can and sort of say we're this is the best time to come and work for a company like us, and there are a ton of opportunities available for you to, for anyone who's listening to this podcast to come and take a look at, and I think I'm really excited to be in this company, and it's an exciting phase to be as well. So yeah.
Right. So Vivek, I mean, that's an interesting take. So you have obviously lots of experience in general, because you also work with other public companies like Equinix. So maybe this is more of a general question. Like, how does a leader like you think of different systems to enable different sales motion, right? So if you were to enable a direct sales motion versus a channel sales motion, how would you go about planning for different systems, and what architecture would you put into place? People used to call it CPQ, quote to cash, but wanted to get your perspective as a internal stakeholder.
So from my experience, I think the focus should be on how the business wants to operate, how we want to sell.
Right.
And so there are these various components in this, right? So there is a part of the business where the sales reps are selling directly to the company. So that's your direct line.
Right.
And then there is the part of the business where we want to enable our systems and processing so that the partners and the channel and they
yes.
have, and we give a platform for them to sort of help come and sell our services on our behalf, and then also grow their customer base as well as generate revenue for us. And there's the partner aspect as well. And there is also another aspect, which is kind of self-service, I should say. So for our customers, we want them to come in and sort of look at services through our own
right.
customer portal, and sort of look into
mm-hmm.
the other services that we have, and sort of give them the options to try out the other products and services that we have, and sort of help them play around and offer them lots of trials that we can, and help them see if that product is fit or not, and then that's where we come in and sort of help them drive some custom solutions for them, right? So depending on all these different aspects of it, I think that's where we will sort of look into what systems will be best suited for these kind of engagements. Like, for example, I know for our partners, we have enabled the PRM solution in Salesforce. For our customers, we also have our in-house customer portal that sort of helps them sort of go and play around. And then we have lots of trials that they can initiate and try and test out and basically purchase if they're interested in, right? So and then obviously there is we want to make sure that our sales team also has all the tools internally that they can use to sell faster. So that's where like a CPQ tool will solution comes in handy. Yeah. So yeah, it's about understanding what the business needs are and what the strategy is for our company, and then and the vision, and then coming up with the best solution that sort of works best for them. That's what I would approach. And
so if you were to take a deep dive, right? So in the past few years, like any complex Code2Cash CPQ transformation that you were involved in, any best lessons learned or best practices that you want to share, and they did not be specific to a technology like Oracle or Salesforce, but can be agnostic. But love to get some perspective that when you're doing these complex, large projects, how would you go about planning for them? And if somebody else is doing it, what are some of the best practices they should think about?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think every project has its own set of challenges that come up with, right? And I've seen a lot of projects fail due to lack of proper scope. And a lot of projects fail due to proper documented requirements that is required, right? And then there are projects that fail due to poor implementation partners, right? And the skills that they bring, or the people that they bring onto the project. A lot of projects fail due to lack of proper change management and communication, and this adoption is super less, right? And then I consider that as a failure as well, right? So there are lots of reasons why a project could fail, and then some of the lessons that I have learned from my previous cycles is sort of focus more on what are the objectives of the project, right? What's the vision? What sort of the where does this project want to get you to in let's say now or 1 year or 2 year or 5 year plan, right? So what is the objective? Where does this project want to get you in, right? And then based on that, go as much as detailed as possible on the scope and the requirements as well. I think that's sort of another key. We want to have people who can translate that vision into proper requirements, so that we can that sort of solves for that vision that we have, right? And that is sort of another key. And not only having solid requirements that are people who understand the system and people who understand the process and the functionality, giving them is sort of super key to all of this, right? And then the other part of it is to come up with what the architecture plan and the design is going to be, and how things are going to work, and how can we design a system that can scale as the company grows, right? So that's another aspect. So I would say spend as much time as you can on the planning stage of the project and the design stage of it, right? And the more work that you put in there, the more you're going to see it, the fruits of that labor,
right.
At the later on stages. And after that, it's just a matter of execution. I mean, there are lots of other challenges that you face with the execution. Scope creep is one of them. But I feel that with proper project management and stakeholder management, all those can be fixed. The upfront, if you can do the upfront really well, I think it'll sort of set you up for success.
That's a good insight. So COVID has been an interesting time for all of us. Any projects or initiatives that were either stalled or accelerated, what has been the impact of COVID in your planning or your business as you are looking at different priorities?
So I think from my perspective, you know, being mm-hmm. in an IT organization trying
right.
to build trying to get these projects up and running, I think the biggest problem here is just resources and time, and there is also this fatigue that will arise every now and then. So my team is pretty diverse. So I'm remote. I don't sit with my team that is mostly based out of Denver,
mm-hmm.
Boulder area. So for me, there's been a lot of attrition recently, again, due to the various changes that are happening, and
right.
and also this job market being so hot that is it right now, it's hard to keep the resources. So with that, finding the right resources, and then also this whole work from home concept is still here. I mean, we were a year and a half into the pandemic and we still are all remote, right? So that poses a challenge in terms of not being able to work directly with the business, right?
Yes.
Things like a face-to-face meeting where you sort of sit together and whiteboard and come to a solution is no longer the case. You know, you need to make sure that you book meetings and have Zoom sessions and all that stuff. It's all going to delay the process a little bit. Right? And I actually miss the hallway conversations or going into somebody's office and knocking at the door and seeing if they're available or not and having a quick chat. And that's sort of the challenges that we're facing is coordinating all of this with everyone being remote. And with all this comes the fatigue of being on constant Zoom calls and all that stuff, right? So that's sort of the challenges that I am facing, especially being on the IT side and on the implementation side of things.
That's awesome. That's an interesting thing. And I think everyone is probably in the same boat. So we are almost at the end of our podcast, Vivek. We have a lot of young listeners, people early in their career, maybe working as a software developer or a business analyst. What recommendations or suggestions you have? Like, how should they think about their career? What should they be thinking if they at some point of time aspire to be IT director?
Yeah, so I would say, so if you listen to this upfront, right, I think I started off my career as a developer, and I soon knew that that's not what I wanted to be, right? And I did not aspire to be an IT director or to go in this area at all. Things just fell in place. All I wanted to do is I wanted to be in the tech space because there's something that I love to be on, and I wanted to be in a space where I can get to solve business problems and add value to my customers. Right, that was my whole goal. I wanted to do that every day, and if you could do that, you know, I was, even if I could solve one problem or help the customer through a certain issue, you know, that sort of solved my day, and that made my day, right? So that was what my focus is, right? So I would say my advice to them is stick to what your passion is, what you love doing, right? And don't worry about other things that come along with it. The your career progression or all that will happen automatically when you start enjoying what you really want to do, right? So if you are for some reason not happy being a developer or not happy doing your current job, right? I would say early on in your career is the best time to sort of pivot and try something else new, right? And you will never know that that thing that you'd like new is what you want to do for the rest of your life, right? Or you can try other things too, right? And that's the advice I would give. Keep trying new things, right? Keep making make mistakes, right? It's okay to make mistakes, but don't make the same mistake again. And that's something that I try to follow that in my career. It's okay to make mistakes because only if you make mistakes, you will learn. I try not to make the same mistake again, right? So I feel that is dumb because you already burnt your hand there. Why would you want to do the same thing again, right?
Exactly.
So that's what I would say for all the young people who are listening to it. Focus on what you want to do, what you want to be, not where you want to go. And then the path will show for itself when you enjoy and love doing what you want to do.
No, that's a good feedback, Vivek. I completely agree with you that it's good to make mistakes and not think too much about them, especially early in your career. And then once you have identified your strengths, you can double down on that. So with that, I really want to thank Vivek for his time. He's been very candid in sharing his journey as well as some of the lessons learned. So thank you, Vivek, for your time today.
No, thank you for giving this opportunity, Pratik. Appreciate it.
So with that, I would like to wrap up this podcast. Thank you all for tuning into Reimagine Enterprise Sales Systems. To listen to more exciting podcasts, please visit my website, pratikm.com or pratikm.com, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, and other channels that you follow so that you'll never miss your show.